Beers and Tears would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the land from which we conduct this podcast, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We recognise their continued connection to the land and waterways and sky of this beautiful place, and we pay our respects to elders past and present, and extend that respect to all First Nations people present today, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. In this episode of Beers and Tears, I sit down with the captivating Canadian indie folk artist Kat Clyde to delve into the stories behind her music and her deep connection to nature. Kat shares insights into her latest album, Down Rounder, and how it reflects her personal journey of self-discovery and exploration. From tracks like Everywhere I Go to the introspective I Feel It, Kat's music transports listeners to a world of raw emotion and introspection. Join me as we explore Kat's creative process, the inspiration behind her songs, and her thoughts on the intersection of music and nature. Everyone, welcome back to Beers and Tears. Today I'm joined with Kat Clyde. Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. First time in Australia. How has it been?
It's been really good. I mean, it's beautiful. The food is amazing. People are lovely. It's been really good.
When did you get here?
I think it was the 6th, but I'm not 100% because I lost a day, so...
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, like, around that period of time. Yeah. Like, oh, about a week ago. Oh, yeah. No, wait, not even. What day is it? Oh, yeah, about a week ago.
Yeah.
Cool. And you just played Port Fairy Folk Festival.
Yeah.
How was that for you? Like, what was the experience like? Did you get to, like, catch anyone else, or what was your Port Fairy experience?
I didn't really get to catch anyone else. It was really hot.
Oh, yes. Yep, yep, yep.
It was insanely hot. It was, like, 41 degrees, something like that, which I've never experienced that heat before.
Okay,
so it was kind of intense.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Even Australian people who live here were not handling that heat very well. I was like also at a festival over the weekend, and I was just like drenching myself in just warm water. I'm trying to stay like somewhat cool, but it was like impossible. You just had to like sit in the shade and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Was it like, what time did you play?
The first day I played, I think it was around like noon, and then I did kind of like a song circle.
Oh, cool.
So I did a few songs, and I was on stage with a bunch of other really lovely artists. And, I think the next day I played at like 11 a.m. and then also at 6 p.m.
Okay. Those are like not the hot times.
Yeah.
Like they were that you got lucky with the relatively cool periods of the day.
Yeah, I didn't have to play on the Saturday, which was nice.
Yeah.
So just kind of arrived there and kind of hid away from the heat.
Okay, cool. Awesome. And you have just released your third album, called Rounder.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I kept on thinking Down Under, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. And I was like, don't forget that it's not that. Down Rounder. Can you tell me a little bit about this record and, yeah, how it came about and just like the production songwriting process, just, yeah, from the beginning of like the little seeds to what it's sort of become now?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite a long process. I think I really started it like – during the pandemic and writing all the songs. And my initial intention, I was living in Quebec at the time, and I had a studio there. And my initial intention was to record the record with just my partner and I at our studio, our home studio. So we kind of started that, and it was going along. And then our place ended up being full of mold, and we were both kind of getting very sick. And it was like, couldn't figure out why we both felt so bad. And it took kind of a long time to figure out. I ended up like ordering this like mold test kit off of Amazon.
So you just like thought maybe it might be
I couldn't figure out what it was. And we just felt like crap all the time. Oh. And it was just like, you know, hard to figure it out. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to maybe grab a mold test. And it was like really bad, like really, really bad.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Yeah, we ended up having to leave there in quite a hurry in the middle of winter, which was crazy. And just like dismantle everything and pack everything. And so then after that, we kind of just like went back home to our parents' houses and I didn't really know how to finish the record or what to really do next. And I was having a really hard time figuring out how I was going to finish it. And I ended up getting introduced to Tony Berg, and not in person, but we were doing some video calls and he was kind of helping me just like look at the songs with fresh eyes and figure out, you know, just how I wanted to move forward. And he didn't really have time or space to have me come to his studio. So we just had a few video calls and just kind of went over things. And it was just really nice to have someone else look at the songs and just be able to see it from a new perspective. And then I met with different producers and a few months rolled by. And I had gotten a grant because Canada has a lot of like music grants. And so there was kind of like a clock that was kind of running out for me to get that grant and help to pay for the record. And so a few months went by and I was really getting, the weight was really coming down on me and I really didn't know what I was going to do. And then Tony reached out and he was like, I've got 6 days next week in the studio if you want to come. And I was like, hell yeah. I was like so tired of not having this done and not knowing how to get it done. And he gave me like a few days notice. Mm. So I flew to LA and I went and did the record at Sound City.
Cool.
Which was an amazing experience. He brought in like some incredible musicians that I really connected with very easily. And they all really loved the songs. And we did it all in 6 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tiring?
Yeah. Yeah, you could say that. But it was amazing. It was really incredible experience.
Do your songs sort of like evolve much from like the way that you write them to the way that they're produced?
Yeah, I think the pandemic was kind of a unique experience because I feel like in the past when I've made records, you kind of have them and then you go into the studio and then you're done. But I felt like because I had this initial idea to kind of do it more DIY and then so much time went by, I felt like the songs really had space to evolve and they did evolve into something different. And I'm really grateful for that because I feel like they really bloomed into something better than they would have if I would have just recorded them initially.
Mm, cool. And your music has been described as like spellbinding and evocative of the world of like old Americana, of the essence of that. I guess how do you feel like your music has evolved from when you were first creating music to now? How you write and how you produce and how you work with other people, how has your music evolved from like sort of the beginning to what you have, the way you work on music now?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's kind of evolved in every way, just like me. I think I'm always kind of evolving and I think it's natural that the way I do music would as well. I don't know. I think it's just life experience and changes and people grow and change and so does the music.
Mm. And has your process changed much in the way that like your songwriting processes or the way you work with producers or the sounds that you, or just the way that you work in a studio, has any of that changed or do you feel like it's sort of remained pretty like consistent?
I feel a lot more confident in myself and my abilities. I think I've always been really good in the studio, but I've not really believed in myself always, especially early on. But, you know, when you work with different people and, you know, some not so great and some great, you learn a lot. And I think every record I've made, I've learned a lot and I've kind of just taken that forward. But now I feel really confident in the studio and I feel confident in my choices and in what I want and my vision and my intention. And I feel much more confident in myself to fight for that when it needs to, and also to be open to new possibilities.
Are you a solo operator, or do you like to collaborate with others when it comes to like bringing a song to life, or maybe even just like when you're writing the song and it's in the early stages, like what is your relationship with like having it just as your own process and then collaborating with others as well?
Yeah, I mean, I really like to get to a place with a song that I feel really good about. Mm. And then I like to really collaborate with really good musicians. So I feel like my strengths are like lyrics and melody. And so I really like to find someone musically that can complement that and that has the right sort of flavor that I'm looking for that feels like it fits. So I really love that. That's what I really love. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool how, well, I guess like sometimes you don't even think of those possibilities, like what other people add to a song.
Totally.
Like wouldn't have even come to you had they not like come into the process.
Yeah, absolutely. And you want like, I don't know, it's kind of like cooking a meal. You want the right spices, you want the right flavors, and you know, that way when you twist it all in the pot and take a mouthful, it tastes good. Just want it to taste good.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. And in terms of your live performance and your live show, what does that look like? Is it has it been solo while you've been in Australia, or have you had a full band? How's it been?
It's just solo while I'm in Australia, but back home I have a band, and I also do three-piece sometimes, which I really enjoy. But it's been quite a while since I've done solo stuff, so I did a lot of that starting out, so I'm kind of excited about it. It's nice to like bring it all back to the bare bones of it, so I feel like I'm just kind of getting in the swing of it, but I think it's going well.
Mm, cool. And these songs capture the essence of like environment and being at home and tapping into your emotions, and yeah, I just kind of like wanted to touch on like what this record means to you, and what you were sort of channeling in the creation of like the track listing and the way that the album flows.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like all my songs are kind of different, and I think that can be sometimes hard to make them all come as one. Mm. It's really just like I don't know, writing songs for me is very much like a healing thing, and often I'll write things and it won't be till maybe years later that it kind of really hits me what it all means, or what it was trying to show me or teach me or tell me. So I feel like that's always changing. I'm always discovering like what it means, and it's always kind of changing. But as far as like the track listing, I think it's really just about, listening to the songs and seeing which ones go into each other well and flow together well. And it kind of reveals itself once you just listen.
Mm. Are you someone who listens to albums a lot? Like, are you an album consumer?
Yeah, I'm more of a song consumer. I like albums, and there's a lot of albums that I love to listen to front to back, but I get really hooked on songs, and I feel like nowadays people listen to a lot of music, but I really like to listen to things slowly, and I really like to take my time with things, and I'll get really hooked on a song and I'll stay with that for quite a long time. Mm. And that's okay with me. I like to really take my time and really squeeze all the juice out of it before I move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And what are some of your favorite songs? All-time faves.
All-time faves. Okay. Geez, that's a good question. Lead Belly's Where Did You Sleep Last Night? Tomorrow Night by Lonnie Johnson. Rather Go Blind, Etta James. My God, there's so many good songs. Mm. Do I Ever Cross Your Mind, Dolly Parton. I don't know. There's so many good songs.
Yeah. What were you listening to in particular when you were in the process? I guess it was quite a long time and there were probably a few different things that you were listening to, but what were some of the songs that you were listening to during the creation of this album?
I was listening to a lot of Lee Hazelwood. I just kind of found Lee Hazelwood and was really obsessed with his music. And I was listening to a lot of him. And what else was I listening to? Like Ricky Nelson and I don't know, a lot of Lee Hazelwood. Cool. For sure. Yeah.
And you've been touring with John Craigie.
Yes.
Another folky.
Yeah.
Fellow folky. How has that been? How did you guys meet? And like, what's been the story of touring together?
Yeah. So we met a few days ago.
Okay, cool.
At the hotel.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then I didn't really get a chance to catch his set at the Folk Fest, so I've not really seen him perform. And I've checked out a few of his songs, but I like to keep stuff like that a mystery, and I like to just experience it in the moment. So I've not really listened to too much of his stuff, and I'm really looking forward to really kind of seeing him play for the first time tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I don't really know him that well, but yeah.
No, that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
Just along for the ride.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. And how did you sort of get into the music that you create? Like, what did you listen to, like, when you were a young bean?
Yeah. My parents didn't really listen to a whole lot of music. And but I would go to visit my grandparents in the summertime, and they lived in this area called Georgian Bay. It's like really, really beautiful lakes and things. But I had two uncles that played really great guitar, and my grandfather played the fiddle. And that was really my first like experience and exposure to music. Mm. And I was really inspired by that. And they played a lot of like folk and rock and roll and things like that. And then my grandfather played like old time fiddle. So that was really my first like experience with that. And then as I got older, I really got into like indie stuff and like folk and blues and jazz. And that really sent me down a path. And and I got into punk rock and rock and roll. And yeah, just... Yeah, really wanting to consume it. I felt like I kind of missed out as a kid of listening to music. So when I started discovering it, it felt like I really wanted to dive in.
That's so interesting. I feel like my parents are the same. Like, they listened to like a bit of music, but they weren't like diehard music fans. And it's so, I don't even know how I became what I am. Like, I'm like, why do I have such an interest in music for? And yeah, it's just like so interesting how like other people may have like consumed so much music as a child and just like that shaped like what they listen to now and like the things that they consider like nostalgic or whatever. It's so interesting how, I don't know, different people are raised in different ways and like how that impacts like what you create.
Totally. It's really interesting.
Yeah. Awesome. And you've been obviously playing some gigs and playing music and you've come down to Australia. I kind of wanted to know what your favorite gig that you've played has been, and also a horror story of a gig.
Oh my gosh, my favorite gig that I've ever played. What a great question. I think the first thing that comes to my mind is I played this show in Gaspésie, which is like very, very east Quebec. It's on the ocean. And I played this show. It was like at the top of this mountain, and we had to like drive up the mountain, and we were in this like truck, and it was just like the angle was insane. Like, I thought my gear was gonna fall out of the back of the truck. And it was really spectacular. There was just this little stage, and it was like this, it was in the summertime, but it was this like ski hill. So people came up on the ski lift to come see the show.
Oh, cool.
And it was just like on this beautiful mountain overlooking the ocean. And it was just a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was really beautiful. And then, everyone would walk down the mountain after the set was over. And I was the only band playing up there. So all these people came up on the ski lift and came and watched me play. And then everybody walked down. I walked down too.
Oh, that's so nice.
It was cool.
Oh, that's cool as.
Yeah.
And, yeah, well, it's been a horror gig.
A horror gig. That's a good question. Oh, geez. I don't know. I think, like, probably really early on, like, probably when I was, like, 15 or something, I was in this, like, this kind of like, I don't know what you would call it, like a group band. It was me and like my friend, and then it was like, I don't know, it was called the Big Wheel Show, and it was like probably like six performers.
Okay.
And we would go play like fairs, like local fairs and things like that. But we were playing this car show, and it was really early on, so it was just like terrible. And I was terrified, and but the electrical was not wired properly, so every time you would get close to the microphone, you'd get electrocuted.
Oh my gosh!
And then, no. Yeah, and then this woman like took off her like pantyhose sock to put over the microphone, thinking that that would help, and it definitely did not help. So I just got like electrocuted for my whole set.
Oh, that's brutal.
So,
oh yeah. My god, that's got to be the worst.
Yeah, it was not fun. My lips were like numb after, and I was like, that can't be healthy.
Oh my god. Yeah, but that does, like, you wouldn't think that something like that would happen. Like, I don't know, it's like one of those things that would happen to you when you were a kid or something. It was like,
yeah,
I think it's like getting
that. Yeah, it was like in the middle of the country. It was very, yeah, it was strange.
Oh, amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
And if somebody had listened to this record, well, if you were giving someone this record and they'd never heard it before, never heard your music before, what are three songs from the record that you would want them to listen to and why?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I would probably say, I think Everywhere I Go. I really love that song, and I love the way that it came out, and that one in particular feels like it was kind of the first song that I kind of wrote that was, that felt like a new, something new. And then the second song I would say is probably Eternity. And also that was kind of one that really felt new, like something new was coming from me. And I really love that song. I think it's really, I don't know, it's kind of a different, and I really love the way that that song came out. And then I think probably Send You Love, because, I also really love the way that one came out, and, it just feels very warm, and I think it has a really lovely message. And I think, I don't know, I think anyone could listen to that and think about someone they love and send love by listening to it.
Cool. I love that. And my final question for you is, if your album was like a feeling or like a thing or an essence or like a memory or just anything of that sort, what would it be?
I would say a campfire.
I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Thanks so much for
Thank you.
Coming and chatting to me today. It's been great.
Yeah, this was really nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you.